Welcome to the Veterinary Financial Podcast, where we discuss financial freedom and whole life success. I'm Meredith Jones, a veterinarian and financial planner.
And I'm Willie Bidot, a lab animal specialist and a money nerd.
We are gearing up for the virtual Veterinary Financial Summit coming up on September 30th and October 1st. Go to vetfinancialsummit.com to learn more.
So Meredith, it's September 1st. I am so excited about this episode because I wanted to talk about student loans. So today's the day that interests start back up. And in a month, a lot of us will have to make our first payment after 3.5 years of not paying anything. So what's going on right now with interest and the payment itself?
Well, I'm glad we're talking about student loans today, Willie, because it's one of my favorite subjects. So what's going on is in September, we've got interest starting to accumulate again. So we had this whole 3.5 year period of time while the payments were on pause and the interest was on pause as well. And so interest is starting back up, both for folks who are in school as well as folks who have already graduated from vet school. And then we've got the first payments due in October. So some of those will come through as early as October 1st, and some of them will be some other time in October.
Yeah, I think in the Student Aid website, they say they have to give you at least a 3-week notification before your first payment is due. So A lot of us are going to start receiving emails.
Yes. And so want to give some credit to Megan McGuire, who is on the Student Loan Planner team. She actually sent an email out recently that had really just some very practical information with student loan payments restarting to just make sure that you've got your contact information updated with your loan servicer. Because a lot of us have moved during COVID, including Willie. He just moved.
I did move. And I think yesterday I changed it because September 1st was coming up. And I'm like, oh, I need to change my info.
Yeah. So make sure your email address, your mailing address, phone number, make sure everything is accurate there. Because, of course, mostly your loan servicer is going to be communicating with you over email. And so if they've got your email from back when you were in school or some email that you don't use anymore, then you're not going to receive those notifications. So that's really, really important because eventually not only are you going to need to make payments, but you're going to need to recertify your income and there may be some other announcements that come out. So you want to make sure you're not missing out on those things. And then the other thing, and this is always a pro tip that I talk about during my presentations on student debt, you always want to make sure that you are getting yourself set up on auto pay because you can save 0.25% on your interest rate. And so even though a lot of us are on income driven repayment plans, it's still, you know, if you can have a bonus on your interest rate and a little deduction, might as well get that. The other thing is just behaviorally, of course, if you've got it on auto pay and that's set up, then you're going to make sure that you're 100% not going to miss out on making a student loan payment on time. And the other thing I'll say, because this is a big question that has come up on the Debt-Free Vets group recently, is don't freak out if your payment looks super crazy right now in the online portal. We're hearing from people who have their loans with Nelnet and Advantage and others who are reaching out and saying, gosh, you know, it's saying that my payment's going to be $2,000 a month or $4,000 a month, and that's not right. And if you're on income-driven repayment, it probably isn't right unless your household income is super high. So just don't be too concerned about it right now. Of course, I'm saying this at the beginning of September. Of course, as your payments are getting closer, when it's October and it still says that, then of course you're going to be more concerned about it. But what we expect is that over the next 3 weeks or so, a lot of those errors are going to have to get corrected because they have to send you the correct bill according to your repayment plan. They can't just send you whatever they want to. So, and then the other thing is really making sure that you have a good solid plan for your student loans and that you are actively choosing the best repayment plan and the most beneficial plan for you, and also figuring out your student loan strategy as well.
So going back to repayment plans. So right now we have recent grads in the past 3 years that have not had to worry at all about their loans. And finally, they do have to worry. So what are the main repayment plans for these new grads?
So for new grads and recent grads, they are going to be looking at a couple of different repayment plans. And before I get into repayment plans, we should also just talk about repayment strategies as well. So there are lots of different repayment plans, but there are really two main repayment strategies. The first one is to just go ahead and pay off your student loans as soon as you possibly can. And so that's only for, of course, people who can afford to do that. And usually if we're talking about paying off student loans in full, we're talking about trying to pay them off in like about 5-6 year time frame or less. Because if you're not paying them off in a very short time frame, then it's likely that you're missing out on other financial goals and other opportunities to contribute to retirement and build wealth in other ways. And so that's why we don't want people paying off their student loans in full over a very long time frame, because if you're going to do that, it makes a lot more sense to pursue one of the income-driven repayment plans. And so that's our second strategy. And a lot of new grads are going to be on income-driven repayment plans, as well as a lot of veterinarians in general. And the reason for that is partly due to high debt-to-income ratios in the veterinary profession, but it's also because if you look at the numbers and you run the simulations, for a lot of people, it makes a ton of sense to be on an income-driven repayment plan, and it might actually be less expensive than paying it off, depending on the case. And so those income-driven repayment plans, when we're looking at new grads, the ones that we are typically focusing on are pay, which is pay as you earn. And so that's a 20-year plan. It's based on 10% of your discretionary income. And so a lot of people are choosing that plan. Now, anyone who's on that plan can stay on it, but that is a plan that's being phased out as of July 1st of 2024. And so that's another reason it's really important to get a student loan plan, because not all of the options are going to be available to you forever. If you're a brand new grad, meaning that you never borrowed any student loans before 2014, you would also have access to the new IBR plan, where that is also based on 10% of your discretionary income. It's also a 20-year plan. We expect that one to be around for the long term because it's actually in the statute. So it would take an act of Congress to actually change that one. So we expect that one to be around for a while, but not everyone's eligible for it because a lot of people did borrow money before 2014. The other one is the SAVE plan, and so that one is also based on 10% of your discretionary income, but it's a 25-year plan, and so we can go into a few more details on that one, but that is the other one. And for new grads, a lot of times we're looking at a balance of, okay, payments are about $100 a month cheaper on the SAVE plan. So how does that work out versus paying on a 20-year plan? So you can look at paying a little bit more for 20 years, or you can look at paying about $100 a month less over 25 years. When we run these scenarios with new grads, there are a lot of times where it works out better to be on a 20-year plan rather than being on a 25-year plan. So a lot of times we're looking at something like PAVE or new IBR versus being on the SAVE plan.
So you mentioned SAVE, the payment is lower. Why is that?
Sure. So the reason that the payments are lower on SAVE is because it uses a higher poverty line deduction. And so when the repay plan was around, so the repay plan has now become SAVE. Anybody who was on repay before COVID or signed up during COVID is going to be automatically transferred over to SAVE. You don't have to fill out a form. You don't have to do anything. You're automatically on the SAVE plan. And so what they did is the discretionary income is a calculation that is done by the government. They have these charts where they say, okay, according to your family size and according to your income, we take a look at that and we subtract a poverty line deduction to figure out what your payment's going to be. So with the SAVE plan, they're using a poverty line deduction that is 225% versus the other income-driven repayment plans are using 150% poverty line as the deduction. So that's the reason that the payments are cheaper on SAVE.
Okay. I don't know why I thought it was the percent income that it was lower in save, but that makes sense. So they're putting that deduction initially, and it's 225% in save and 150% in pay.
Yeah, and that's a good point too, is that there is a difference in the discretionary income. However, it's not really that significant for people who went to vet school and graduate school. So if you only went to undergrad, and this isn't kicking in until next year, but next year for people who only borrowed for undergrad, the payments are based on a 5% discretionary income versus 10%. Now, they do talk about taking a weighted average of undergrad and graduate loans, but I don't know about you, Willie, but for most of us, the vast, vast majority of our loans are going to be graduate loans. And so when we're running scenarios for people, we're really calculating for the most part based on everything being at 10%. The other thing is if you have consolidated your loans and you had graduate loans, then we're looking at 10% of discretionary income. But most of your loans are going to be graduate loans anyway, right?
Yeah, but again, it's so interesting to hear because I was telling people that it was based on 5% of your discretionary income, and now it's no. And that's why I had read before that the SAFE plan usually helps those with undergrad loans more than the graduate ones. So that's awesome. Another big thing that we were talking about before we hit record was how the interest behaves with the SAFE and the other income-driven repayments like pay. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So when we're thinking about interest with the SAVE plan, so what's happened with the transition from the repay plan to the SAVE plan is there's now a larger interest subsidy with the SAVE plan. And so what happens is SAVE is going to cover all of your interest that your required payment doesn't cover. And so therefore, the loan balance isn't going to increase. And so I'm hearing a lot of misunderstandings on the Facebook group and otherwise with Student Loan Planner. We're getting a lot of questions about this as well. And so I'm going to try to explain this as simply as possible. And Willie, let me know if I need to clarify anything. So when you make your payment each month, just like with a mortgage payment, you're going to be paying some interest and some principal with that. Now, some people are actually on income-driven repayment plans where they're really just only paying interest. And so that's another thing to consider as well. But you make your payment. And so let's say your payment is $200 a month, but you would have had $500 of interest accumulate that month. Instead of paying $200 and having this $300 of unpaid interest that would accumulate on the loan, that interest is actually subsidized by the government and it's taken care of. And so you pay your $200 a month payment. Maybe it does all go to interest at that point, but then you don't have that $300 of unpaid interest accumulate like you would with the other plans. Now, I'll say that with the caveat of, okay, that still doesn't mean that the SAVE plan is going to be best for everyone. It's really important to run the numbers. That is a longer repayment plan compared to pay or the new version of IBR, but that is the difference there. And because you don't have that unpaid interest accumulate, the loan balance actually doesn't increase, because that's one of the big stressors, right, with income-driven repayment plans is people say, I made my payment every month and the balance is just going up.
Okay, that's pretty insane because I graduated in 2014 and my balance has gone like $40,000. So if I change to the SAVE plan because I'm on the pay, my loans are just going to stay the same until that forgiveness period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you wouldn't have any more of that unpaid interest added on.
Wow. Okay. Psychologically, that's pretty significant. But unfortunately, I've been telling people, well, you either want to pay your loans for 20 years or 25. Personally, I don't want to pay 5 more years of loans, so... It's hard. It's like a mind game with these loans.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And then the other thing to consider is, okay, that additional 5 years that you're going to be paying on the loan, that's when your income is the highest it's ever been, right? And so especially when we're talking with veterinarians, dentists, physicians, you know, anybody that their income just goes up, up, up over time. You're thinking about, okay, we're doing projections based on like a 3% increase in income, but some of us, our income is going to go up significantly more than that, especially if you're looking at owning a practice someday, or if Well, we've seen just over the past few years how a lot of vets are making more money than they ever dreamed that they would be. So we don't know what the future looks like, but we can definitely predict that those additional 5 years, your income is going to be higher than it's ever been in your life.
Yeah, I agree. That's what everybody hopes for, that their salary keeps going up. And again, yeah, if the past 3-4 years have showed us something, is that veterinary salaries can jump pretty high. You know, a great example is I had a plan for my wife to go through one of these income-driven repayment plans, but she became a specialist. Her salary bumped up so high that right now we're just going to have to pay it aggressively because it doesn't really make sense. Because that percentage of her salary that we do have to pay, it's going to be pretty high already. So yeah, so it's better to just pay them off.
Yeah, and it's definitely very individual. So there's a lot of talk, of course, on the Facebook group, and we've had a ton of successes on the Debt-Free Vets group as far as people who saved up a ton of money during COVID, and maybe they worked a lot of extra shifts because there wasn't anything else to do for a little while there. And they managed to pay off their debt in full. But then the other thing is, it's all about your individual situation and what works best for you. So just because Willie's wife is now a dermatologist, which is amazing, she's worked incredibly hard and is able to now say, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and pay off the debt. That doesn't mean that that's going to be the best plan for everyone, even if they are also working incredibly hard and making more than they used to, because the farther along you are in the income-driven repayment plans, the more compelling of a case you can make for staying in that income-driven plan.
Yeah. And again, going back to the Facebook group, the Debt-Free Vets, you know, it's doable. There's people there that have 300K plus in loans and they have paid it off. I think I saw one from a 2021 grad paying off their loans. That is amazing. So, you know, a lot of people just go into these income-driven repayments because, frankly, they don't want to deal with their loans. But again, sometimes it makes sense. If you can pay them off aggressively, put the numbers in and let's see. And talking about numbers, can you provide some of the resources, Meredith, for student loans?
Oh, sure. Yeah. As far as ways to figure out what's going to be the best repayment strategy for you and repayment plan for you, the Venn Foundation has their student loan repayment simulator, which is fantastic. And so I will say, if you're using that calculator, you need to make sure that you are using it in the most accurate way. And so the most accurate way to use it is not to go to the website and just plug in numbers. The most accurate way is to go to the My Student Loans page on the website. So if you make it to the simulator, you can just look at the top of the page, click on My Student Loans, and there is a tool where you are able to upload your student loan data file from studentaid.gov directly to that website and run a 100% real simulation on your loans. So that is the most accurate way to do it. Now, some people look at that and they say, gosh, you know, that's not something that I want to do on my own. Well, that's perfectly fine as well. So there are a couple of great options for student loan consults. And I mentioned Venn already. Even if you're not a Venn member, you can use their student loan repayment simulator. You can also use their student debt message board, which is freely available. So you can go there and actually get a consultation. They have a couple of vets on the team who do a great job through that message board with going ahead and saying, okay, this is a repayment strategy. With it being a message board, though, there are some limitations, right? You can't immediately ask a question and get an answer. So another way to get a student loan consultation and actually schedule it for an hour and make sure that you're getting all your questions answered in that hour, come away with a plan immediately following that consult, is to schedule a consultation with Student Loan Planner. And so I now work as a consultant with Student Loan Planner. And so those are one-time paid consults. They're at a flat rate, and then you get a year of email support after the call. So any questions that you have that are follow-up questions about your student loan plan or any of the action steps, you can always email us after the call. But that way you're getting all your questions answered. You can say, hey, you know, these are the particulars of my situation. These are the things that I want to make sure that I am taking into account with my personal situation, and walk away really feeling confident about your plan.
Yeah. So again, people, we're talking about Meredith, who is a veterinarian and now is a student loan planner / financial planner. And she's providing consults. I'm really passionate about it because I've been plugging in SLP, student loan planner, for a while, because in 2020, Meredith was not working for them and I did my consult. And to this day, I think I want to have another consult with them because, as we mentioned earlier, our incomes have changed significantly since that consult. And I thought it was great. It's definitely worth it. This week alone, I have done 4 consults. And, you know, again, I'm not a student loan planner. I'm just telling people, put your numbers in the VIN calculator, run them yourself, and then you can kind of decide what plan you want to go with. But you'd rather have somebody do that for you. I can assure you that.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, I started out talking about VIN and then we made our way over to talking about student loan planner. But the thing is, for the vast majority of people, and honestly, if I had student loans, I would be in this boat as well, where, okay, you go plug in numbers and then you're like, okay, now what? Like, I understand the numbers or I don't understand the numbers. But even if you understand the numbers, it's like you still probably have more questions that you need answered about your particular situation. Or you just want to make sure that you're not making some sort of costly mistake and you want to make sure that you've got peace of mind with the repayment strategy that you're choosing. And so it's another big benefit that we offer with the student loan consults is to be able to say, okay, this is something that you've had an expert really evaluate. And yeah, you've spent a few $100s to do that, but we usually save people 5 figures or 6 figures during these consults. For example, I had one yesterday where she had been out of school for a little while, so several years, and she had been on the older version of IBR. That's for people who borrowed money before 2014. Well, that one is based on 15% of your discretionary income versus now we've got other plans like the SAVE plan around where it's based on 10% of your discretionary income, plus has those interest benefits that we talked about earlier. And we were able to switch her over to the SAVE plan, and it's going to save her between $60,000 and $100,000, that change, and also doing married filing separately moving forward.
That's crazy. I was going to say my story, but my story is not as good. When I did my consult, I'm going through public service loan forgiveness, which means that I work for either government or nonprofit for 10 years, and my loans get forgiven. And at that point, when I did the consult with Travis, he said, one of your loans doesn't qualify for that, so you should consolidate, and then it qualifies, and then you can get it forgiven. And again, I haven't gotten it forgiven yet, but in 2 years, it will hopefully be forgiven. And it was a $13,000 loan at that point. So he pretty much saved me $13,000 just in that call. So again, highly recommended. In veterinary medicine, I've seen a lot of trends of people, oh, you have to outsource stuff. You know, there's a lot of things that you can't do as a vet. You need to outsource. And this is something that you definitely need to outsource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. And then the other thing that is coming through next year is the IDR waiver, so the income-driven repayment waiver. And I used to use the VIN calculator when I worked at another financial firm as the main way that I would do student loan consults. And it's great, but what we're able to do with Student Loan Planner with the tools that we have is we're able to find opportunities for example, people to consolidate their loans before the end of the year and actually get a lot of extra credit toward forgiveness. And so we're finding a lot of those opportunities where we can add a year, 2 years, 3 years, sometimes more than that, onto their income-driven repayment credits. And so we've got people who are going to be able to get out of debt sooner because of that. And so that's another big, big benefit of having a meeting with an expert so that they can take a look and see, okay, is there any benefit to consolidating your loans? And that's a limited time thing. So those consolidations, if they're happening, they need to happen before the end of 2023 in order to take advantage of that income-driven repayment waiver and also to make sure that you don't have any of the negative effects of consolidation that used to happen. Like historically, way back, it used to actually reset the clock on forgiveness if you consolidated. And that's definitely not something that is happening for consolidations that happen between now and the end of the year. So we're finding a lot of those opportunities as well. And I did want to touch with, just because student loans are such an emotional topic for a lot of people. And so earlier, Willie said something about, oh, you know, some people don't want to deal with their loans, and so they go on income-driven repayment plans. So a lot of people who are on income-driven repayment plans are also on them because they have met with an expert who has said, hey, this is something that's actually going to save you a lot of money long-term, and you can actually contribute more money to retirement and start to build wealth rather than front-loading all of this money on your loans at the beginning of your career. For some people, that is the right decision. But for a lot of people, it does make a lot of sense to go ahead and really just pay the loans passively where you're not paying any extra on your loans. If you're going for forgiveness, it's a waste of money to pay any extra money toward your loans. And so I just wanted to make sure we touch on that as well.
And the other thing I do want to touch on is we keep talking about forgiveness. So this income-driven repayment plan sounds like magical. So you pay for 20 years or 25 years and your loans are forgiven. Right now, they're not actually forgiven. Can you talk a little bit about what actually forgiveness means in this income-driven repayment plans?
Yeah, I can. And so with the income-driven repayment plans, so that's like pay, save, or IBR, with any of those plans, after you've paid on the loan for that 20 to 25 years, you actually have a tax bill that you have to save for. Lovingly, we call it the tax bomb. And so the idea with that is that you'd be putting aside money each month to save for that tax that's going to be on that forgiveness amount. So what they do is they consider that forgiveness amount to actually be like you made that as income during the year of forgiveness. And so that's why you've got an extra tax on it. And that's why it's important to save for it. A lot of folks that we meet with, they may have a tax bomb of between $60,000 and $120,000 that they would need to save over the next, you know, whether that's another 15 years, whether that's another 20 years until they hit that forgiveness timeframe. And so it's really important to save that money. And what we recommend is putting it into a brokerage account. And so as Willie mentioned, I do also work as a financial planner with SLP Wealth. Among all of the other financial planning things that we focus on, one of the things that we help people with is putting that money into an investment account, like a brokerage account, to save for the tax bomb. And so some people need to save $300 a month. Some people need to save $600 a month. And it all just depends on your numbers.
Yeah, that is a great point, because a lot of people, again, they have pushed loans for a while and they don't know what to do with that extra money. They haven't paid anything in the past 3 years. And I did have a debate yesterday when I was talking to one of the recent grads. She's asking me, how do I save for the tax bomb? And me personally, I've been saving in a brokerage account, but high yield savings account, well, some of them are giving you 5.7%. So you can start with that. That's your money. It's really safe. At some point, this high interest environment is going to drop. So you might need to consider a brokerage account, but I don't know. What do you think about that? Telling people to go straight to a high yield savings account? And because I definitely, again, I'm doing a brokerage account, but at this point with the high percentages, high interest rates, yeah.
Okay, so right now we're definitely in a different interest environment than we were a few years ago. And so you do have options. Like Willie said, you could go ahead and just put it in. If I was doing high yield savings, I would try to find the very highest one. There is one out there that's at 5% right now. And so you could go ahead and start your tax bomb savings with that. You know, with those being taxable accounts, you wouldn't have to worry about that aspect of it if it's just in a savings account, which is a cool benefit. And then the other thing that you could consider is some of the money market accounts right now are sitting at about 5.5% interest. I think Fidelity's got one. I believe Vanguard's got one that's sitting around there. And so on the savings accounts, that's a guaranteed return, but then it can be variable. So years from now, you may only be able to get 2% on that high yield savings account. It's still going to be considered high yield at that point, which is, you know, sounds nuts right now, but it's true. But yeah, we do talk about brokerage accounts just because over a longer period of time, and we are looking at this being a long-term savings, if it is in the stock market, then it's going to be something that is likely to make more over time. And that's another thing. As you get closer to that forgiveness time frame, you may want to put the money into more conservative investments versus being a little bit more aggressive, taking a little bit more risk at the beginning so that you can try to build up that tax bomb. And so that's another thing that a financial planner can help with as well.
That's a great point. I think we have covered pretty much what I was interested in covering, because I certainly wanted to hear more about the SAFE plan, which, you know, again, mentioned earlier, like 5% or 10%, depending if you have undergrad, graduate loans, and then the poverty line, how much percentage they deduct out of that. So, you know, those are pretty confusing things because they sound similar, but they're not. But do you have anything else you want to pitch in about student loans and the environment that we're on right now?
Yeah, just one more thing about the tax bomb. We all hope that the tax bomb goes away and that it's not a thing. I mean, if you think about, okay, anybody listening to this episode is going to be a ton more informed on student loans than the average person out there. And of course, we've got our own little money nerd group of people who are informed on student loans within the veterinary space. But if you think about the average American who is on an income-driven repayment plan, they're not even going to know to save for the tax bomb. And so there's got to be some other solution out there. And so we do want people to go ahead and save for the tax bomb, because right now it's a thing. You know, unless they change the regulations, it is a thing that you're going to need to make sure that you've got money for so that you're not in trouble with the IRS in 20 to 25 years. So nobody wants that. But at the same time, it is something that all we can do is speculate, but it's likely that there's going to be some other solution out there. Because right now, anybody who actually reaches forgiveness between now and 2025 doesn't have to pay a tax bomb. So they could just go ahead and extend that longer term so that the rest of America doesn't have to take care of it as well. Meaning the rest of the Americans who are actually on the income-driven repayment plans don't have to take care of it. But we just don't know what the future holds.
Awesome. Well, Meredith, thank you so much. This was a great episode. I'm sure we're going to put a lot of links in the show notes because a lot of these resources, people need to have access to them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we'll make sure that we've got lots of good resources for you in the show notes. And we'll also put our email address in the show notes. So feel free to send student loan questions there. And if it's something simple, we'll go ahead and answer it. If it's something that is a little bit more in-depth, then we may refer you for a consult.
Sounds like a plan. Awesome. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Take care. If you liked this episode, click the follow or subscribe button. Until next time, take care and continue your path to financial success.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a legal or financial professional before making any investment decisions.